Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Frost. Oh, yeah. Let me find this. And we are live. What's up? Hi, hello, how's it going? I'm Prunk Chocolate. With me, got the Shopper Charlie. Hello, we got the Tom Bomb. Lando will be here eventually. I think he's struggling to log in. He should have just left himself at fan69. That's what he gets. We are Shades of Blue. This is a Thursday night lit stream. How are you all doing? What's up? Shout out to everybody on FanFest Live. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube. Shout out to everyone watching on Twitter. To all you people who are watching the replay, I'm talking to you in the future. Hi. Thanks. I appreciate you. I legitimately love seeing that number once we get done, and then I go to sleep. I wake up, I look at the number again, and I'm like, oh, look, it like doubled or tripled. Oh, that makes me so excited. Like, shout out to y'all. Musa! Yo! Man, we have a great day. Great show for you. It's been a great day. We have a great show for you. American Citizen, Josh Polgardi. I've been saying his name over and over again. I guess he didn't correct me, so I think I'm saying his last name right. And we're giving Matthew a second try. It's scary.
He's in the chat. Matthew's in the chat.
Let's go. All right.
Because he came on and I heard his voice for like 2 seconds, and then all of a sudden, like, the mic fell down again. So I was like, what's happening? What's going on? I don't know what it is, bro. Like, worst case, if you just got to use your cell phone, that's fine. You ain't got to use a laptop.
Anymore. Crossing everything for Matt.
Right.
All the things.
Oh man, it's actually really warm in here. So I'm gonna.
That whiskey, boy.
That
too. We do have to do the little drink check. What's everybody sipping on this evening?
I got me some Templeton Rye, baby. That's some Midwest rye whiskey.
I had Templeton before, actually. Yeah. What about you, Tom?
So I actually have this cherry slush energy drink, and we're just gonna see what happens.
I need some energy. I had a nap earlier, and so I'm just riding the vibes of just being rested, and excited to see y'all, see some good people, talk some footy, have some fun, laugh, joke.
I get it. I went to bed at 8:30 last night, like I was 9 years old. Just
2 days ago, I did that. I was just like over it. I was just like, what? It is what it is. Let's just go to bed. Actually, the other day, I was in bed. Shortly after halftime, Sunday night, I didn't even finish watching the Chiefs game. I didn't even know who won. I woke up and I was like, who won? And then was close game. Yeah, man.
I'm not even gonna lie. We're about to get smacked this weekend. And I've accepted that. And like, there's some sort of like solace in knowing like my team has the best player that will be on the field. But at the same time, it's like, but them other like 22 dudes, like it's too much space in between me and the next dude on my team. So
it's what y'all be fine. Y'all aren't gonna get embarrassed. I think y'all might lose, right? Like I would definitely bet on the Ravens, but Mahomes is still Mahomes. Like y'all are still gonna be competitive. It's still gonna make them sweat. The man only reaches AFC championships. Like it's crazy. Because I didn't think y'all would be Buffalo like that. So, you know, anything's possible. What up, Tarek?
What's going on, Tarek?
Hey, what's up? I was trying to get rid of that fan 233. Hold on. Let me jump out and jump back in.
Here's the trick, bro. You got to exit out of the tab. And when you click the link again from Twitter or from the DM, hit login there, and then it'll work. Yeah.
It didn't give me the option, but I'll do it again. Hold on.
You hit home login.
If not, I'll just roll with it. If it don't work this time.
Oh man, I didn't even notice that. Like my shit was fucking.
I'll be back.
Wild. My shit was messed up too. It could it normally is saved. That's the funny
that's
thing.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine
on the computer.
Yeah.
Me off.
I was, you know what?
That's what we do.
At this point, it's like I don't.
Too late. Too late.
It is what it is.
If people don't know who you are, Fan539 by now, I'm a little.
I mean, gosh darn it, where have they been?
Just in case. I know.
Also, I just want to toot my own home real quick. This fucking patch is beautiful. It's so pretty.
Yes.
While we're at it, who's the name on the back? Like, did you get a name?
Manuel Akanji, of course.
Okay, baby, let's go. I love
Lifeline Finance out here. The one that always gets left out of all the like Team of the Year stuff and yada yada, but somehow Ruben Diaz gets thrown in. When Manuel Akanji was obviously the better player last season, but it's okay. I'm a ride with that. Other people disagree. I understand.
Manuel Akanji on the cover of Men's Health multiple times.
No, sorry, not good enough. But my 25 and in the spirit of Fernandinho, he lives on forever. So
love that. I love that. Yeah,
love my guy. Let's get it.
You know where we're starting, baby. You know.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Kevin Bruyne is still at Man City. Erling Haaland will play here too. I'm not sure how easy it is. He's talking about Omar Berada. But if United thinks that this person, everything's going to change, congratulations. He even said how, like, if he does well, they need to name a stand after him. Pep was feeling it. I had an audio clip ready for here, but sometimes the audio doesn't share, and I just didn't want it to us to all be staring at
Pep,
not talking. Shout out to the homie Sky, Sunshine. She, like many United fans, are flipping the situation. So first off, they've completely moved past the fact of 115 and if he could be tied to us. Like, they've completely moved on past that. Right? So now they're just on the fact that Pep is shook because our fourth in line moved across town. Like, before we start making fun of them, let's try to empathize and try to see
why.
Derek, you good.
Fair point. I mean, it's a fair point. Very fair point.
But why? I know, Lando, what's going on to you? Like, I know you'll agree with me on this. Like, No.
So no one can. So we're all on. Because again, I know this is a live stream. We're supposed to be making fun of them. We have plenty of time to do that. But there's no. It's all just the Lulu. Is that what we're saying? They're just huffing the copium, eating a big old Delulu sandwich, just like super full of silly, stupid steaks, and they're just like. Pep is bitter. He's hateful because, again, our fourth in line has left us for a team. I mean,
they got to have hope, right? Like, they got to hold on to something. You have to be inspired by this. You have to feel like your luck is changing after 11 years of ineptitude. I, too, would hold on to this. And am I 12 or 11? I started losing count.
Not the racial Dolezal hands, I, too.
They don't have one of these. They don't. It's been a while. Like, you know, they don't know what real trophies feel like. We don't count Europa. We don't care about Leafs Cup. Like, win a FA, win a PL, a CL. Oh, God, they can't imagine. They just want to make it every year. So, like, you're just trying to do something that gives you the vibes of, like, oh, we're coming for them. We're going to be the noisy neighbors now. But that's what y'all are. Y'all are so noisy and red. It's annoying.
Well, that's why I call them the opinionated neighbors because.
Oh, I like that. Because
opinions, it's like an ass. Everybody has one and they always have some sort of opinion. And noisy, we were just rambunctious. That kind of undermines us. They're just opinionated. It doesn't mean anything. I love that. Opinionated neighbor. So feel free to just start calling every United person an opinionated neighbor. I think I might need to just start doing that. Tarek, what are your thoughts on all of this?
So I, of course, I was jumping in kind of last minute, so I apologize. But as far as, well, first of all, to Charlie's point, you know, we don't count Europa. The people over in Liverpool obviously do, because they swear up and down that this supposed quadruple that they're going to win this year.
Damn.
It's going to be
our
treble that we did again.
Damn. He went there.
But I'll leave that for now, because we're talking about United. So yeah, you know, I think I'm with Charlie. What do we expect them to do? They've got to find something to hang on to, and so everybody that they bring into the club is the savior. Everybody that they bring in is one that's going to turn it around. Whether who go all the way back when it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Oh, he's been under Alex Ferguson. He's got United DNA. Every single person that has come into this club in the last few years has been looked at as going to be the one that's going to turn it around. So the only one that has been with a successful or has any track record of success recently would be somebody coming from City. So, you know, I can't blame them, because if we were watching what they were watching every week, I'd want anything and everything too. So I don't blame them, but I don't think it's going to turn around as quickly as they hope it is.
Let it be known that T just originated Omar at the wheel.
There you go.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure, though. He can't miss. Like, he has to try to sell Anthony and Sancho to Saudi to get the money to. We know they want Victor Osimhen. They need him. I mean, we love Rasmus Højlund, talented young, but they need a real striker right now. Then you got to realize, okay, what are we going to do in midfield? Because the people before him were stupid enough to go get Casemiro at this age. Like, every place he has work to do. There's no position at Man United where you're like, we're good. Like, they don't exist. Like, you literally have 11 positions to fill. Or at least, like, hope people stay healthy, right? Like, you know, good luck. You wanted that struggle. Go embrace. He embraced the grind. That's what Omar did. He embraced the grind for the bag. And I can't be mad at him.
Man, and that's a good point. Like, after so much success in his life with Barca, Manchester City, and now, like you said, he is about to get into the grind. He's going to find out if this is what he actually wanted, because he's been watching all these people above him doing these things that he thought he wanted for years and years and years. Now you're the man. Now all these emails, all these people, they're going to be reaching out to you. Terry, what were you about to say?
No, I was going to say, it's just like with Pep. Everybody keeps saying, well, could he do it at a lower level club? Could he do it at a mid-table club? Could he do it with a club that doesn't have all this money, yada, yada, boom, boom? Well, we're going to find out if Omar can do it in Old Trafford, because I have questions, not about Omar, but about the club itself. And so anybody going there, I'm going to have questions about. So, you know, this is that proverbial question that everybody wants to ask. Well, every non-City fan wants to ask, can they do it outside of the confines of the Etihad? Can they do it when everything isn't in sky blue? You know, we'll see.
Yeah, man. Well, I want to bring in our first guest, because I would love to hear his perspective on this. I can chat with this dude about anything. Fun fact, there's an episode we recorded like months ago that never dropped, because like for a good like half of it, we just started talking about random stuff. And then I was like, oh yeah, we're talking about football. So
most tapes.
Good friend. You all know him as American Citizen, Pep Talk Pod. Shady Gang, say hello. What's up, homie? How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Feeling good. There's a lot of City talk that's just sitting in me that needs out.
And get it out.
And the United
is yours, sir.
Lit the fire.
Let's go. Get it out. What do you want to go do first? What's the first thing beaming right now?
This is City therapy for you, sir.
Well, start with United. First off, do you really think taking our chief operating officer is really going to hurt us that bad? Come on. I mean, he was basically the guy that crunched the numbers for the real people who made this. The one thing I will say is I am worried that Jim Ratcliffe at least do a competent job, which the bar is pretty low, right?
It's in hell.
It's hard to do worse than the Glazers. Like, I'm pretty sure with all of the money United as a club make just because they're United, like, you have to actively try to be as bad as the Glazers have been. Mm-hmm. And so I do worry that even if they're halfway competently run, that they'll, you know, actually start, you know, winning top four on a consistent basis.
At some point, you almost feel like they have to even just fall into a good decision every now and then. And it's like, how lucky can we be for them to continue to be inept?
Yeah, we just need to hope that the transition takes a long time, because it is true. Like, anybody with any football knowledge that has been at that club in the last 5 to 10 years, they all say the same thing. Mourinho, as much as he's a curmudgeon, said, like, this club's rotten from the inside out. Ralph Rangnick brings him in, and he said, this club needs open-heart surgery, for his words.
Yep.
So, like, those are, like, obviously, after so many times, and Ten Hag has said it multiple times. But, like, so, at some point, you kind of have to listen to these guys. Like, not all of these people are wrong. And then it's just like, it's right on cue when they're about to go, or when their job looks like they're in jeopardy. Cue the United media machine. All these reporters start writing some negative articles about how Ten Hag didn't get along with the cafeteria workers. Stupid. There you go. Next week he's fired. It's rinse and repeat.
Ugh. Okay, well, there's no need to stay on those groups for too long. Let's talk about our beautiful. I actually want to start here because the Newcastle match, when we saw it happening in real time, we were like, "Is this happening?" Okay, and so your question was, the tackle was super left sided against Newcastle, and what's even crazier, was the match yesterday or whenever it was for the women's match.
Yesterday.
They did the same thing on the opposite, mm-hmm. where they had mm-hmm. Chloe Kelly and Lauren Hemp on the right side. So it's just like, is this just a thing that is going to become on City? Is this Pep trying to unlock something? I guess when you saw that happening, first, what was your thought? And two, what do you think the reasoning for that was?
So I think that, like, Pep changes that game to game. Right. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily surprising. We used to see that a lot. So anytime Laporte played, everything was down the left. Like, the buildup, when it splits the field into three, it's like left side, it's like 60%. Like, middle and right are like 20% each. And I think it's because, so the way he set, it was, you know how in the build-up, generally they do like a 3-2. They did that, but they normally do that with the 2-3. It was like the two center backs and then backs, half backs, but fullbacks push up next to Rodri. So there's like the two and then the two, right? But this was different. Because what he did is he took Vardiol, Walker, two fullbacks, pushed them high and wide, and then put Bernardo and Kovacic and brought them down next to him. So, like, if you look at the formation, it's the same. It's two and three and then five, basically. But it's with Vardiol and Walker as, like, the wingers, essentially. The guys that are really high and wide. I think the reason they went down the right side, well, Newcastle's right side, or left side, is because Vardiol is better on the ball, Walker, and also Trippier is just a lot easier to exploit. I don't think he's very good defensively. And I think just that side is easier to go after. So really, that's why I think why they did that.
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. It seemed to be effective at moments, but what I personally didn't enjoy, I guess, about it, because it's very similar when we use Bernardo as a right winger, because it's just like, you know, he's a right winger, you know, technically midfielder who just positionally is in right wing, but he's it really doesn't mean he's going to be much to our attack. He's not really going to give us our width. That's where, you know, Kyle Walker is, and Bernardo can kind of run in there. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to focus on running up and down the pitch as much. Obviously, we win, and it goes well, but I'm not the biggest fan of Bernardo in the right wing. I guess, did anybody else, when they saw this, like, super left-sided attack against Newcastle, his question was, is it a feature or is it a bug? Like, do you think this is something that could be successful?
I'll go real quick. I like it because if you think about how the goal was created, right? The first goal started on that left-sided buildup. Doku plays the diagonal, which is what we always do, right? We want to, like, suck you in, play the diagonal, and now Kyle Walker had the space, made a great assist in Bernardo with the one of the best finishes you can have, right? Like, so that's the idea. I think overall, would it be nice to have a classic Mahrez winger where you just know that person is the one who's directing everything? I think so. But as far as us trying to break down compact boxes, like, you need as much width as possible. So if you can give it with Walker and Vardiol, now you have your midfielders. Now you put Bernardo in his natural position or in his natural space, I think. But he's just a freak, man. Like, I like him wherever he is. Like, we've seen him go off in the Champions League on the right wing. Like, ask Camavinga what Bernardo can do to you as a winger if you're not on your game, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a feature. Of course, we want 33, 33, 33, but we know that's really impossible. So some matches it will be that 60 on the left or that 58 on the right, especially when Kevin comes back, right? I can imagine those numbers are going to go up on the right side because of what he does with crosses. So I like the fluidity we have, right? I think it's a great, great feature.
And before, Lando, you talk, I don't want to make it sound negative about, because before the season started, I was pushing that I want to see Bernardo as a right wing, but as a right winger, let him do his thing in the attack. Because like you said, when we see it in the Champions League, there really isn't anybody as lethal, especially with him not being the most athletic. He just is a freak of nature on the ball. His problem is he's just so talented at everything. Pep is like, why have you attack when you can do all these other 90 things and we can find a way to score, because we do have players whose strengths more rely on the attacking part. So you just don't rely on him, which is fantastic, because then we get him to score the goals like he does that comes out of nowhere. We're just like, oh, we can't do this.
Yeah, I mean, look, the effectiveness that we want in the right wing comes with the speed, the pace, and yes, while Bernardo has the versatility, Bernardo doesn't have that speed, pace, and essential threat going down a wing, going at someone. He's crafty, but I don't think he's nutmegging Alphonso Davies. He's not speeding by him and beating him to the byline and tapping it in or crossing it in for a tap in. So Bernardo, while he's great, we know his limits. The City desire, I think Charlie kind of put it great, in is that we're missing that Mahrez, that essential veteran winger that we know if we skip it out to him one good time, that first touch is going to be fabulous and we have ourselves a great moment incoming. I don't know if we're ever going to get a solution to that. I've let go of these types of, I'd say, problems, good problems or fights when I've yet to have the left back solution solved. We've had this left back problem for years, and what we've managed to do is find great solutions around it. Multidimensional players like a Gvardiol, a Nathan Ake doing his thing. So these are things that, like, while they cover a certain aspect, it's not necessarily the thing that we want or crave. This is where I like to say I'm a pervert for Purvis. Purvis Estupiñán is the absolute god tier level left back for me. And I would love to have him on this team, but we move. We're winning, you know? Let Bernardo play right wing if we need it.
You should have kept that number. You should have kept yourself fan 69. That line
would have been perfect.
Bro, I've been at an off year. He's coming back from injury. It's not necessarily the time to be on that bandwagon, but I will admit I've always had a thing for how he plays that position. I just think he's class, and I'd love to have him.
Okay.
Really good.
I actually want to...
Too little.
Yeah, I want to move to one more, the next subject. Kimmich. Transfers. Everybody is so excited about Kimmich. And I get why. And I get the understanding. But after having the right back that we've had in right back for so long, the idea of us going from Walker to Kimmich legitimately makes my skin crawl. Like, it just, and he's a smart man. He knows where to be. Like, his lack of athleticism really shouldn't be a problem. But when we have Kyle Walker in all the time, specifically because of his pace, how do we replace him with some dude who, like, his 40 is like 10 seconds? Like, what are we doing? Like,
are you really thinking that Kimmich is coming in as a replacement for?
Yeah, he's not
Kyle Walker. That's not
a midfield.
I mean, he's played right back in the past, more so like when we would play John Stones as right back. But he's not going to play as a Kyle Walker right back. If anything, he's going to be more in defensive midfield.
All I ever see people do is put him in right field so that he can move up into midfield. And that
So, I mean, but that's no different than what we're doing with John Stones. I mean, so I don't see that differently other than, you know, Stones, I think, is a better defender.
Midfielder.
He's a midfielder.
Kimmich is a midfielder. Yeah, Kimmich is a midfielder. Yeah. So I guess my thing is, if you're talking about the lineup, let me stop. Let our guest talk.
Yes.
AC, what you got?
I just need you to sell me on him because
okay.
I don't know him next to Rodgers.
I'm not going to sell you because I don't need him, but you know, it is what it is.
Right. Listen, I'm going to sell you so hard on him, you're going to go buy a Kimmich jersey right after this.
It's going to be a band?
Go on.
So, not only, okay, let's forget that he's like one top five midfielder in the world right now. Let's forget about that. He's not Rodri, but he's up there. Okay, so let's even forget about that. Let's just look at the positions he can play. Okay, he can play right back. He isn't a right back. He can play there.
Yeah,
he plays the six. He plays the eight. He can really kind of play anywhere, but not just that. Okay, so right now we've been saying we need somebody that can come in for Rodri. I don't think there's any player in the world, if we didn't have Rodri in our team, that I would want to be there instead of Rodri. You know what I'm saying? So not just that, he can play next to Rodri as an eight, but also he would transform the way we attack as a quote-unquote right back. I'll tell you why. So back to like the three and the two in the buildup, right? Walker cannot invert, right? Guardiola doesn't. So previously, what we used to do is we used to have either Zinchenko or Cancelo do that. They're gone. So really, the only guy on our team right now that can step up from that back four into midfield next to Rodri is John Stones. I don't know about you guys, but I just don't have any.
Anji, we've had some success with the Kanji.
He's not as good as Stones yet.
He probably never will be because Stones is exceptional. Stones is a unicorn.
Exactly.
Akanji can do it, but like Stones is like next level, right? Yeah. So, and we all know that Stones really, we just can't count on him to be healthy. So why does Pep, like for example, against Newcastle, why does Pep have to drop in midfielders next to Rodri and play Walker high and wide? It's because he has nobody to play that position, right? When you have Joshua Kimmich playing your right back, well, guess what? He sits inverts next to Rodri. There's your 3-2. And that allows you to play wide wingers, right? Because then that means you don't have to push up a fullback high and wide because your fullback steps into midfield. So Kimmich allows you to have that Mahrez type of wide winger. And then your front five is winger, winger, midfielder, midfielder, striker, rather than fullback midfielders and then having to drop somebody. So I think that's how Kimmich could actually transform the defense, that he can be an extra option that steps up from the back line. And City lose nothing. If anything, they just get better. And on top of all of that, I think the downsides would be his wages and his age, right? Because he's like 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to pay him a lot of money, obviously, yeah. Right? I don't see that as much of a problem because he's played for Pep. So the whole, like, adjusting, you know, it takes a year. I don't think that's really going to be an issue. Close. Him and Julian Nagelsmann were very close. He's close to Pep. And so I don't think that adjustment period is really going to need to be as big because he's played for him. And I think he's just world class. Like, he's just one of those guys where if he says he wants to come to your team, you take him. And yeah, the wages will probably be, he'll be one of the higher earners on the team, but also his transfer fee be pretty minimal. He's got a year left on his contract. So we're not going to be, it's not like we're going to be shelling out £100 million for him. And then on top of that, paying $350,000 a week, it'll be, you know, £30 million or something like that.
Yeah, and he's taking a pay cut.
He's for sure taking a pay cut.
Yeah, I mean, he'll still be on highway. Even if he takes a pay cut,
he has to. He's at 375. He's not touching cap. He's not. That I would push. If you looked at our top five, you'd see a name on there that you'd kind of be like, I would say I'd push on the top five. I don't disagree that he doesn't deserve it, Kronk. I'm just saying I actually think he might be on it solely because, guys, he's coming from 375. I'm telling you, he's got to take the pay cut, but I think he's going to be up there.
Was it 375 pounds or euros?
I'm looking at rbref.com right now. It's got him. That is euros.
So that's like, that's much.
Annual in euros is 375, or weekly. Annual is 1950.
Okay, so what is 375?
And also, so sometimes he plays right back. Sometimes he plays next to Rodri. Sometimes he plays as Rodri, right? That's just where he would bounce around.
And I think he could play as an eight as well. Like, I think he could play like the Gundogan type of role as well as an eight. He's good enough to.
He's in the 99th percentile in progressive passes. He is in the 93rd percentile and assists per 90. He is in the 95th percentile in shot creations per 90 with over four.
So he's he would be a
the well, eight is possible.
And no hate to Kova or Nunez, but he would just be a more efficient version of them. So he is a bunch of the same players on the team.
He is so versatile though. Like he's maybe like one of. He's maybe more versatile than Bernardo. Like, that's nuts.
He forces you to think about the double pivot. He's so good, in my humble opinion. I think before you even touch the right back position, I think he forces you to say, Rodri and Kimmich double pivot. Let's talk about starting in a three back. You know how those formations always have us in the Prem? They always have us with a four back, but we all fucking know what Stones is doing, or we all know how something's doing. I think he's so fucking good, he would force us to start off in a 3-2. In a 2-3-2, whatever the fuck you want to do up front. Because honestly, that back five is what I'm looking at. In a 3-2, like we're talking.
So basically what you're saying is like bringing Kimmich, like Philando to your point and AC to your point as well, bringing Kimmich in would allow both KDB and Phil Foden to play in the midfield together.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh,
I think this year they would, personally, but absolutely. I mean, it breaks a level
second
control. it brings a level of control to the buildup that we haven't even seen before. We've seen some great, like, where you just can't take the ball off of us. It brings it to another. Like, Kimmich is basically Rico Lewis on steroids. That's actually how I see Rico. It's like, he's bigger than Rico.
What I was going to say is, yeah, if he's on the team, it sounds like it's better for Rico. It sounds like a good thing for Rico.
Yeah, just like how he had to learn from Philip Lahm. I mean, like, he's a regen of Philip Lahm, same way. And what did Pep do? Like, I listened to an audio book, and it was the Marty Perrineau book about Pep at Bayern. And one thing he told Philip Lahm is Philip Lahm was a defensive midfielder. He said, I'm going to make you a right back, and you're going to invert in the midfield. And Philip Lahm to this day says, Pep extended my career by many years, and I was the best player I've ever been at 38 years old because of Pep. That's who Joshua Kimmich learned from. And I think Rico Lewis is a very similar type of player. He's smaller than Kimmich, but
yes,
very similar type of player.
All right, well,
I think mission accomplished, AC. Like you said, hey, yes. I'm going to sell you so hard you want to buy a jersey.
Yeah, well, right. Yes, you did sell me on him. I'm going to admittedly, I have a heavy, heavy Bayern bias. So it's just like, I think that's really, I'm just going to have to unwire it. Like, I'm not saying he's not a great player. I'm not saying I just, there's just so much.
Okay, I'll sell you one last thing. He's got a, like, leadership, like, he's their captain. Like, he's got the leadership mentality. He's been at Bayern for so long. And like, you know the mentality of Bayern players. Just like, we're going to do our business and we're going to win. That's what they do, right? He's won a World Cup. He's won Champions Leagues. I'm pretty sure he's on that World Cup team, but he's definitely won Champions Leagues. Like, he comes in and brings, like, a level of professionalism that you don't have to worry about, where you might have to worry about it with other players.
Yes. You mean, like, with the captain?
Oh, gosh. And that is our time. Thank you, sir. Please plug yourself and how people can find you and the things that you do.
So you can find me on Twitter at Citizen America. You can also find our podcast there, The Pep Talk. We are also on basically every streaming platform on Apple, Spotify, all those fun stuff. And you can find us there.
I appreciate you. You have a good rest of your day.
Also, last thing.
Yes.
Shout out to the Palestine national team. They're in the round of 16 of the Asia Cup for the very first time.
Yes.
Those are my people. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm originally Palestinian.
Yes.
Yes.
Those are my people. All we have to do is beat Qatar, and there's a decent chance we get to the semi.
Let's do it.
Palestine, baby. Well, we're going to have you on for one of our breaking breads in the next couple of weeks. So I'll
be sure.
Do it. All right. See ya. Okay. Man, love that dude. So great.
Yeah.
That's dope. Man, see, and then Jake, he's with me, man. We see it. Like, and I think that's just what it is. Everybody is so high on him. I'm just like,
this is like, so you're not buying, like, the hype is so good that you're not buying.
Yeah. It's not even one person being like, this doesn't make any sense. I am the only person being like, this makes no sense. I really don't see anybody be like agreeing with me. Everyone's just bring him.
I don't want him.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
No, I don't.
You're so quiet this whole time.
My thing is this. I think, you know, he's on the back end of his career. I don't think we need to bring in anybody at that point. I think we need to go get young, talented midfielders that we can continue to build for the future with. I see him in many ways as potentially being our version of a Casemiro who maybe has one good year and then the fall off happens really strong. So I think he's very talented, I think he has had a great career, but do I want him at this point in life? No. Stay over where you are or whatever. I mean, again, if we can get him cheap, maybe just to kind of be a backfill, but I'm not advocating for him at all. He may be 28, but I mean, again, he may only be 28. Fair.
It's the same age as Rodri. Like, they're both in there.
Right. But we bought Rodri how many years ago? When we brought Rodri in, how, you know, it was 5, 6, 7 years ago, right? So my thing is, let's go find a younger version of a Kimmich. Let's use our scouts to go find somebody on the up as opposed to trying to go buy someone that's already been there, done that. And I just don't know. I mean, again, I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
If I change the scope quickly, let's change the perspective. Take away my hype and excitement. Let's take away the hype and excitement from possibly starting to being a true, true Rodri backup. Would you be open to it then?
No.
I mean, for the amount of money, it depends. I mean, I'm not opposed to bringing him in. I mean, again, I think he is a skilled player who would offer a lot for some space of time. I just don't know how long that space of time would be. So if we just said, hey, for the next 2 years, we're going to bring him in and it's not going to break the bank, whatever. Okay, cool. I'm not against it. But I would have rather us kept Gundogan than to bring him in. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dear, yes.
Well, we're going to, our next guest, we're welcoming on the enemy, the one team that is, that sits above us in the league at the moment. I want to find out, like Tom Bomb said, his thoughts on this quadruple talk. he is, I recommendation that we got from the most dope homie, Brad Baker. So he already has tons of goodwill, even though he is.
Good reference.
Good reference. Strong good
reference.
Yes. So shout out, Shadygate. Welcome on, Josh Pogar. How's it going, homie? Am I saying your last name right, by the way?
Yeah, man, whatever you want. That's
that's a no. You do you, it's fine.
Well, it's just,
this man has heard it all. Say whatever, just go.
Yeah, right.
It's one of those things, man. I got a buddy who insists on being called Michael, and I called him Mike at first, and it's like, dude, just go with whatever people call you. It's cool. It's all good. You know, like, who am I? I'm not like the Prince of Wales or something. Like, you guys don't need to, you know.
It's your name. That's what I tell people. But it's your name, though. So, anyway, I appreciate it. So, quadruple, if you win 4 trophies in a season, are you calling it a quadruple?
Would you call it a quadruple?
For if you guys won the 4 trophies that you won? No, absolutely.
No, if
it is a quadruple. Trophies. It is a quadruple. It is not the quadruple. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a quadruple because you're going to, we're way too early in this thing. But if you win 4, it's a quadruple. But again, without having that UCL in it, it don't really matter.
I was actually going to flip. I was going to acknowledge that. If he can't use the word quadruple because they're Liverpool. I can use one. My whole thing is, if City wins a 4th Premier League in a row, I plan on calling it a quadruple. It literally makes Sharpie's skin crawl. But
I'm going to mute the account. It's okay. I'm just going to mute the account. It's fine. I can block you and mute you. It's fine. I'm not worried.
The podcast he's in, the show he's in, that's hilarious. Just mute the word. Just mute the word. Just mute quadruple.
No, because I want to see other people use it correctly. For other people. Like, don't see you. Let's go back to Josh. I'm sorry. Josh. This is deep-seated thing. Trophies, Josh. Y'all winning some?
No, this is why you guys are awesome. I mean, because this is where all the interesting stuff, for us, you know, I don't think any of us are going to end up on the field at any point. You know, so like, this is where we find the fun is in these debates, and it's just the nitty gritty of like who gets to claim the pride in this situation and who's going to undermine that with their BS. And, you know, it's like, but by the way, it'd be easy for me to think I jumped into the wrong foxhole here. I mean, look at this. This is unbelievable. We got a bunch of blue floating around and I'm just over here. I got my Liverpool badge going.
It's our first color red.
Oh, I know.
So how are you feeling about the season, though? Because you guys are doing pretty solid. I hate to admit it, but you are going through well. Even though you're in the shame of Europa League, you're handling it very well. I will say that. You're doing great. So how are you feeling about the season? Sorry, I always throw shade in there. Jake actually got at me the last time we did a thing together where he was just like, guess you had on. You asked him some very rude-worded questions. And I'm trying to but I just like being rude. It's honestly very fun. So I'm sorry, guys. How is the season going?
Look, you got to make fun of your mates. That's how they know you like you.
That's true.
So, look, it's solid. I think with 20 years as a Liverpool fan, it's like there's this looming sense of doom. Like, it's just like, even though the momentum is positive, like you can just smell all the other momentum coming from the other. Like City, like KDB just came back, and you're like, oh man, all right, that hurts. Game in hand, KDB's back. And Haaland's been out since December. And you're like, all right, okay. And you guys are still scoring more goals than we are. And it's like, oh, shoot. If Haaland comes back, like, and now we're playing math games where you're projecting all these variables into the future. And you're going, I don't know. You know, so there's always a looming sense of doom for me, you know, on more than one occasion, as you guys know better than anybody. Liverpool has been ahead of you much deeper into the season than this, and you skipped right past us because we really know how to choke in those last couple weeks. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm not going to get my hopes up because not enough water in my body for all those tears.
Josh, I have a question for you, man. I've respected the rivalry with Liverpool. I do feel like Krunk has noted very well often when we kind of like to make fun of the opposite Manchester side on how it's not a rivalry. Modern day shows that we're slapping the shit out of them. They're nothing. Liverpool are our true rivals. And I hold true to what Krunk says in that regard. My question to you is, help me understand why I'm a big believer on Jurgen Klopp being a dickhead. Help me understand why he's not. Give me something. I've heard a few times, I kind of fucked up my algorithm the other night on IG. I said Klopp funny. Okay. Just to kind of see if there was something out there that can make me laugh or like him a little bit. Give me something that can make me like this guy, because I think he's a prick.
May I ask why?
Yeah, I just think he bitches a lot with refs, grass, attitude towards certain questions I get asked to him. There's a lack of professionalism when he loses. There's a lot of focus on talking about things that aren't necessarily relative to the question that's asked. When why we're maybe focusing on your transfer targets, you want to bitch about other people's money. So I think that's just kind of the list off the top of my head. I haven't pulled up the Klopp file yet. I can do that in a minute if you'd like.
Well, I mean, the Premier League has every league has a deep history of managers that don't necessarily adhere to societal norms or etiquette or anything like that.
Josie comes to mind.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so many examples. Every year you could pick out 50 and you know, they're top of the tabloids. Mourinho did XYZ. It's like, fine, whatever. As a fan, it's what you want is a charismatic leader for your team and your fans. And a almost blind advocate cheerleader for the team and for the fans and for the city and all of those things. But like, you can't see that until he breaks the rules. So, for example, after that game, close game with Everton, he runs out on the field and hugs our goalie, whose name I'm blanking right now because I'm on freaking camera, which is ridiculous.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a great moment. Yeah.
And so on the one hand, horrible breach of etiquette. Like, I would have never done it because I have a crippling need to be liked. You know what I mean? He's got this. He's got this charisma, this big smile that goes, he knows better than anybody he's not supposed to go do that. And he did it anyways. And so you file that under dickhead. I file it under, if Pep did it, I'd get it. You know, like, so that's one side of that. On the other side of it, things get vibrant in context, and I'm not going to philosophize here, but if you have a daisy in a sea of roses, that daisy stands out, right? In Klopp's defense, he is miles and miles the most interesting, charismatic, and friendly German on the planet. So in the context of Germans, you look at him and he's gregarious, he's outgoing, he's chatty, he's hugging his players. Like, I've never been hugged by a dickhead before, Orlando. Have you? Like, it's you can redeem the man by how much you secretly want him to hug you too.
I actually now just think of him in the meme where his face is shocked, but it's the tiger too. I would cuddle up with that. I mean, that is a cute little, you know. Let me ask you this, man. This is a fair question. I've never actually had a Liverpool talk about this dynamic. This is such a great player for you. I think any of us here would agree. He's got great quality, specifically a quality that when he's at a corner, he's showing his ass crack. Trent Alexander-Arnold, help me understand why this guy is so great, but there's a complex player that I think is not necessarily being given the right role. Have you had an issue with Klopp and how he kind of goes about playing TAA?
You see them flirting with the possibilities there. It's like you look up and TAA, he's floated into the midfield, like, and not out wide. He's out hanging out in the middle with the holding. He's attacking. And you're like, did they say he could do that? Like, how? Like, that's not what I
was. You allowed? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the nature of being in a squad is sometimes you gotta eat crap and play where you're told to play. And to his credit, I think he's taken that on the chin. And on, I mean, he's top three in England for performing that role, you know, debatably. But to a certain extent, if you come up young, which we got him young, and his strength is in that position, and there's a gap in that position, you play in that position. And if you kick ass in that position, you might find yourself stuck there, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if we're maximizing him. I don't know if we're getting the best out of him. I don't know if we have a better replacement. You know, that famous quote from Klopp a couple years ago, we're not looking for a replacement. So I don't know. What would you do, Lando?
That's probably the most interesting point. That's probably the most interesting point, I think, and the best argument for it. There's not really a search for a backup. I think he's too dynamic with his whipped crosses and everything from right back role to be there. But I mean, I would love to see him pushed forward a little bit more. I really would. I think you guys have done it more recently, right? Towards the latter part of last year, if I'm not mistaken, he's actually started in the midfield role. So I don't know if that was based on injury or whatever, but the fact that I simply know that this is going to be a dogfight. Klopp is going to somehow figure it out. You guys are looking pretty prime. I mean, we're having a conversation. I mean, look, as much as I don't like the fucker, I'm looking up at him right now. So that's, at the end of the day, the reality. We know what's coming. So I don't know. Gun to your head, would you play him in the eight? Are you okay with him in the eight? Oh,
dude, that's tough. Okay, it's the system, right? What's our system? Our wingers fly forward. They play wide. The holding midfielders sink back. The center backs split wide a little bit, and that's how we attack. With that in mind, Trent he's not even top 100 defenders in the country, probably. But in that system, he works best in that position because he can flirt with some of his better attributes, which are crossing, attacking, distributing, finding those crazy passes that he knocks out and that just don't make sense physically. Like how did he do that? I think he gets to have the best of both worlds in this system. If it were a different, if it were a 4-4-2, so something like that, where he had to be called on more often to defend, I think he'd find himself in a pretty tough spot because I see him getting beat so much and then Virgil just bailed him out or Konate bailed him out. And it's like, oh man, come on. And I think he's gotten slower too. I don't know how that happens, but
so I,
you know what? Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead. You start.
No, you go, Terry. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, look, at the end of the day, I'm a City fan. So I'm not a Liverpool fan by default, right? I'm not a fan of any of the players, whatever. But Trent Alexander-Arnold, like, for if he was with City, none of us would have a problem. I mean, because we had basically that player in João Cancelo on the left side for us, who wasn't a great defender, especially playing on the other side. But what he could do on the ball for us was it opened so many doors that it's like, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that you know, that trade-off. And so I don't like Trent Alexander-Arnold, but I'm not going to knock the player because, again, I think he's a special talent, what he can do offensively going forward and what he's able to, you know, create for his team. So, you know, I'm not a fan of Klopp either. We brought up him up earlier. But if he was our manager, we wouldn't complain about him. Because, again, some of the things that he's doing are things that other clubs would say about Pep when he's, you know, getting into Sterling at the end of a game or whatever, right? It's like, oh, he's all for show or whatever. I don't believe that. But, you know, that's what other fans are going to say. So from my perspective, you know, you take the good with the bad. And I think if I'm a Liverpool fan, I'm not, I would think that the good outweighs the bad heavily, in my opinion. And so I would be willing to just live and die with it personally.
Yeah, I mean, you could endlessly speculate as to who would perfectly fill that position in that system, you know, and we do often, you know, but you know, dance with the one you came with. You have Trent, you have Klopp, you know. Yeah, we finished fifth last year, which isn't great, but it's you know, in the greater scheme of things, do we take it? I think I still take it, you know.
I just want to go in real quick and say that, like, my biggest credit to Liverpool is that they're the only rival we have. They're the only people that give us really good games every single year. Like,
forget the games, just like even the season.
Gets nervous when it's Liverpool season, huh?
I said not just games, but the entire season. You know, yeah, we know that they're going to be in it.
Yeah, and then I think the cool thing is that their teams are full.
Oh, well,
like, and styles make fights. Oh, so it's just, I don't know. I think it's like, it's a great thing to have a counterpart who you know is going to push you, because I don't think we are as great without Liverpool coming, like, always being there. You got to, like, stay ahead of your rivals. And so, you know, do I want them to win ever? No. I always root for draws. But more times than not, that fucking second half comeback comes and I'm pissed off at Anfield. So the game is a game.
So, shout out to, we're going to get you out of here on his, because Liverpool, you have a couple of games in the next few days. Norwich City, you should win. Potentially, you should win against Chelsea too, but we never know the team that we're going to get. So, shout out to Jake. He put in the link a will of names, and it is specifically a cock excuses. So, we are going to find out right now the next excuse Klopp will use. Oh my god. Oh, the wind. You saw that one before. Oh, that's so great.
Oh, man.
The double this year, and I'm going to be pissed. They're going to do the double this year. I'm telling you.
Hey, can I ask you guys two questions really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you, Tarek, I think who was talking? I don't remember. Somebody mentioned being nervous about playing Liverpool. I mean, Chucky, thank you. That made me feel good to hear that. And, you know, this is an emotional sport and we're emotional fans and I want to feel good. So I feel doom when we face City. I mean, it's just, there've been some brutal, brutal games, like 3-1 one way, 3-1 the other way, 3-3. It's just like tie scoring. It's mayhem. So do you guys all agree that like, do you experience that same sense of foreboding that I do when it's like,
yes,
City weekend?
Yes.
Solid, yes. Pummeling against fellow people in the air. That stresses me.
Yeah. you want to have a moment real quick? I'm more scared of Tottenham than most people think. Tottenham. Well, actually,
it's our bogey team.
Yeah, actually, let me back up. Let me kind of rephrase that. In past years, when Tottenham wasn't that good, I was scared of fucking Tottenham. Okay, now that they're like the hot trend, everyone's kind of scared of them. Yeah, no, get on that train. Been scared of them.
Oh yeah, no, they've been overperforming for 20 years. Like they've way outperformed their budget, their staff, all that. They're somehow they've gotten awesome coaches. Like, they somehow they bring it but it's just not as consistent as Poole or City. So it's always kind of like, oh shoot, how's this going to go? But yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. Something about insider trading over there at Tottenham, though. I don't know.
Old ass man committing insider trading is crazy. Wealthy people are so greedy. How are you that old still trying to get more money? Like, you
ain't here. Well, I mean, for him, it was for his people. It was for his people.
He was looking out for the game.
I mean,
everybody eats, man. Everybody apparently eats.
Hustling is a lifestyle. It, you know, you don't retire from that.
We die. So he's 600. Correct.
Well, Josh, if you want,
he had to. Another question. He had two.
There was two.
Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me. All right. For a couple of years now, Pep. All right, I need some insights on Pep. You see him on the sideline, right? Like, weird things catch my eye. He's doing something with his mouth. What is he doing with his mouth? And what is that little white? Yes, Lando. Thank you. He's got like 1/5 of a Tic Tac left in his mouth or something. He's just flipping it around. Like, what is it? And where does it come from? I have to know this. And you guys, like, you're my only hope.
I believe it's gum. I feel like it's like really chewed up gum that he keeps to like keep himself tepid, just like the water bottle thing, right? We all know when he's pissed off, he gets his water bottle. Yeah,
the water bottle.
It's just something to like he's chewing on it. Like he's taking the figurative into the literal. And then he's always has Wamo beside him and they just go on back and forth in Spanish. And then we go out and score a goal. It's amazing.
It's his mating call. It's,
you know what?
It's Josep Guardiola.
I don't know what it is necessarily, but you know, when you've got defenders who give up goals that they shouldn't be giving up, I'd be nervous too. He's always nervous. The shoe about to drop. You know, it's like, which one of these defenders is about to make this mistake? No, I'm just kidding.
It's anxiety, bro.
He's nervous, man.
When your captain tackles your goalkeeper, like, and puts like takes
put a hole in his leg,
and seeded the pass the opposing fucking team, in which it had to roll on, dog. Don't even take me back to those vibes.
Josh, quick question for you, because we talked about, like, I've said this before, and I think others may agree. For me, coming to City later, I know that United is supposed to be our biggest rival, right? Because they're crosstown rivals. But for me, having started watching this team in 2013, Liverpool is a bigger rival for me. I don't know how long you've been a Liverpool fan, but... who would you consider your biggest rival? I know we've had the battles, you know, in recent years, but who do you consider your biggest rival?
Yeah, it's a funny question, the whole rivalry thing. It's, you know, so rivalries, I think there's traditional rivalries, like, of course, you know, Liverpool, Everton, same with City and United. It's like, well, it's geographic. We're across the street from each other. Splits families, right? And those rivalries exist, and it's more for the water cooler than it is for the actual field in most cases, especially recently, as one of you pointed out, United just can't hang, right? Especially with City. They just can't. So from my perspective, you have those traditional rivals, which are more for fun and may actually be sort of interesting if the underdog wins, then it kind of feels spicy and rivalry. But from my perspective, I mean, for the last decade, it's been you guys. You know, United rises and falls and then just keeps falling. Chelsea can't figure out what it wants to be when it grows up. Like, they have no idea. Like, they're either going to win the league or they're going to be 11th. And you're like, I don't even know what to expect. You know, 05, 06, 07, 08, I would have said Chelsea. Today, it's definitely City. Well, 100%. I mean, there's no fear like playing City right now. So,
the characterization of Chelsea being a teenager graduating from high school and not knowing what it wants to be, it's absolutely fucking hilarious. The
oh, Chelsea,
yeah, it's like a growing up kid and it doesn't know what it wants to be. I love that.
I aim to please, guys. I aim to please.
No, that's great. Okay, so before you go, if you want, please. Yeah. Plug yourself to let people know where they can find you.
Yeah. I'm not as social or not as social on social media, but you can shoot. Where can you find me, guys? Email me at josh@asymmetryconsulting.com. We help people spend their marketing budget better. Once you get ooh, burned, bad agencies out there, you need to start with a better strategy. Get some more ROI. Don't spend that money unwisely, folks. So
that's a lip stream purse right there.
Love it.
It is a lip stream purse.
Fuck. Yeah,
fucking business.
Hey, since we got you here, our friends from a different show just announced a pretty big deal with a beverage company. So since we got you here, we need you to go ahead and get us some marketing dollars coming in, get us some endorsement money coming in. Go ahead and make that happen for us, Josh.
You guys are gonna have to be way more interesting. I'm sorry.
Damn, you were too boring. You were too boring. Shit.
All those on the way up.
I love it.
That's the last. That is the last bit of advice that Crunk needs. It's the last thing he needs to hear. Please don't turn him up any higher.
No, hey, seriously, I wouldn't say that if you guys are even slightly boring, because you're not. This is the best. And by the way, I am the enemy, and I'm having a great time, and I respect you guys and City fully. Like, deep down, I just respect good players, good coaches, and good teams. Like, and if my team's not one of them, I'll still love them, but I'll acknowledge it. You know, so. Yeah, if you have a question on it, give me a call or shoot me an email. You got my email. But the thing is, just occupy that mind space and keep going. Keep going.
There we go.
Appreciate you so much.
You're a good man.
Good night. Good man, Josh. We love you, man.
Love you guys. You guys are great. Thanks a lot.
Yep. See ya. All right. Hold up. Goodness gracious. The button keeps... Ooh, kick my ass. All right, Matthew.
Is it the button or is it the whiskey? Is it the button or is it the Templeton's?
Oh, no, it's definitely the button. I mean, if you might not know this thing about me, you'll find out in April. Your boy definitely knows how to handle his alcohol. it's unfortunate.
I like, sir, you are a black man in Iowa, like, and or Illinois. Like, I had no, like, and that's not Chicago. I had no, like, questions that you could handle your liquor. Like, that was never the case. Like,
that's why you listen to Shades of Blue, people, because that's some real shit right there. You wouldn't be here without it.
You will be seen drinking content. You will be seen how a certain man handled his beverage. We're gonna expand on this, because I'll be the first one. I'll be sitting back rolling up. I'll do you.
I mean, I'll do both. I mean, I don't know if you know, but maybe just look up what crunk means.
This man, Dark Chocolate, just said, or we could do both. Meet in the middle, dance all night. That is literally what he just said.
Get my ass over here. Let's go, man. You talk all you want to do. Nobody else talk. This is Matthew's time. He owns it.
Yeah. He earned it.
Get it.
Earned it.
First, let's confirm that you can hear me. You can actually hear me.
All
right.
So that's a win for the day. And whatever else happens, I'm straight. Just getting on was the. I got new equipment, man. I'm like Tank from the Matrix. I got like three monitors in case something walks. You know, it's good. It's good. We ready. Like, I'm driving a mech in here, but it's all good, man.
Tank from the Matrix.
I know. I love it. I love it so much. So please let us know a little bit more about yourself, about how you became a fan of LA Galaxy, and your supporters group that you do.
Thanks, man. Thank you. And yeah, shout out to you guys, man. I've been following your content for a minute. Love the lit streams. Love the watch alongs you guys do. I don't always catch them, but I try to, and it's real enjoyable. Love to see you guys out here doing your thing. Yeah, you know, I've been a soccer fan. I've been into soccer since I was a kid, you know, from LA, grew up born and raised. And out here, it's kind of like the stereotype they always say, like, soccer's so big here. That's like, that was the thing to do at recess. You know, we came out and played soccer. So it was always kind of ever present, you know, even though I didn't grow up with it in my household, that, you know, there's a large Latino community here, as you can imagine, as you know. And so you're always kind of immersed in it. So
So yeah, you know, then we have the, you know, the World Cup, 94 World Cup. I was about, I don't know, age myself, and I was about 10 when that came around. Of course, that took like an already kind of nascent love for the sport. It just like exploded. You know, the final was in Pasadena and that. A couple years later, you know, the Galaxy comes out, MLS comes out, and they signed Kobe Jones, right? Who's, for me, as a national team fan at the time, you know, there were two black players back then. There was Kobe Jones and there was Ernie Stewart. And so, of course, he was a hero of mine. So I instantly became a Galaxy fan. I wasn't always going to, you know, games back then. But, you know, I was kind of instantly keyed in just because of that. And then, like, fast forward to, like, 05, 06, I started coming to games more regularly in that. And then, yeah, I got, like, season tickets in, like, 2010. And it just kind of clicked. I feel like that time in the early 2000s, I came back into the fold as a fan, not just in, like – and it's funny because I was talking to another other guys out here, Matt from Eat Pray Ball, and we were talking about early 2000s when like the Premier League and all the European leagues got really big in the U.S. mostly because of access, right? Like you had Fox Sports that were kind of broadcast, so it was easy to follow for like the first time in a long time. And so like a lot of people, that really kind of invigorated my love of like club football, because before that I kind of like focused on like the World Cup, the national team, and stuff like that. But really, it was like being able to follow the clubs and been going out to like my local club, which was the Galaxy. So that really like cemented my fandom there. That was like, I always say there's like a point where it kind of clicks for you, where it becomes your habit. This thing you're going to do every Saturday, or whatever. You're going to go to the game, or you're going to go to the pub and watch the game. And so at a point in like 05, 06, it kind of clicked for me and I was just kind of locked in. And yeah, that's kind of my journey just as a fan in general.
Yeah, and I want to stick with your supporters group a little bit, because I remember seeing you post about but it was like a dinner event or something that you like, just in general, the events that I've seen that you post and whatever, they seem very cool and unique for like supporter groups. So it's especially for like black supporter groups, because we need to be supporting each other. We need to figure out creative ways. I mean, it's half the reason why for our event in April, our first event is like a 3-course breakfast. Because it's just like, why not? Let's just change some things up. Let's try, like, especially us as black soccer football fans, we're already seen a certain way, or not seen a certain way, I guess. That's probably the better way to put it. And we need to be able to show our variety, our multifacetedness, just the fact that we're culture motherfuckers. So like, as I saw the food and the trip for you, I was just like, oh, this man, we could easily be really good friends when it comes to good food. So please talk about that event and in general plans for 2024 with your supporters group.
Yeah, thanks. So I started like a couple of years ago, so we've had this the Galaxy have kind of fallen on hard times. You know, we're legendary, you know, historically been like this great American club. Of course, we haven't been doing too well. But like last year, the president got ousted. There was this big fan boycott. So it was this really interesting thing where all the supporters groups got together, and kind of the rank and file fans got together and really supported like getting the president out. And he actually left. Like when everyone started it, no one expected that to be successful, right? So it was this really galvanizing moment for fans, because we've been bad for a while. So it was like you could kind of see, you know, victory on the horizon, you know, and it's still a lot to do. But in my mind, like what I've been thinking of for a while was like, and you kind of know how it is anytime you kind of start something like this, like I kind of thought of like, well, how can I bring black fans together? Like, you know, and it came from like a real legitimate desire just to meet other black Galaxy fans, you know, and connect with them. And I was like, well, maybe I'll do like watch parties, and I'll kind of like create a presence online, place for people to meet up and just talk Galaxy and just a network with fans. And the more I kind of delved into that, people were like, oh man, where do you guys sit? Where are you guys in the stadium? And for me, it was kind of going to be mostly just kind of like you said, like doing viewing parties, events, partnering with like some of the like black owned restaurants, black owned businesses that are like, you know, around the stadium, in and around the stadium, and that really just kind of creating places where black folks can go. Like the Galaxy have a really cool supporters culture, where you can come to a lot of the bars and like restaurants around here and that, and you know, they support the Galaxy. So I was like, well, can we have that in like black communities, really, you know, entrench that in more of some of the black neighborhoods around LA and bring folks in. And that's kind of how it started, really. And so we've partnered with like a Ghanaian restaurant that's over in Inglewood, is like a very black kind of part of LA. Probably heard about it in a couple of rap songs. I'm just saying.
Inglewood, always up to no good.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So my old neighborhood is where I grew up, where I spent part of my childhood and that. And so, and that was kind of part of it, is just like really organically saying like, well, can we do some of these viewing parties and maybe some of these communities that we don't always think about, right? Because I think obviously the Latino community is kind of the golden egg, I guess, as far as like when you think about, okay, who we really want to grab. But so for me, I'm just trying to advocate and say, well, you know, there's another community that's also really into soccer here. And there's an opportunity to grow that. How do you invest in that? So yeah, we partnered with My Father's Barbecue, which is like a barbecue place that's really close to the stadium. They actually do some events inside the stadium as well. So it's really, really been that. It's like, well, what does that look like? What does it really look like to engage with Black folks and bring them into the soccer community? Because it may be different, right? Like to your point, it may be a different way of organizing, a different way of bringing it together. So trying to unlock that, you know, and then for the long run, if we can bring that into the stadium, you know, that's all the better.
Yeah, and I love that. And just like Jake said, more Black SGs, let's go. Shout out to the Black Fires.
Black Fires, Black Heron.
Yeah.
The Black Diamonds in New Mexico.
Yes, more of them. And I completely understand, Matthew, because there's the reason why I tried to start Shades of Blue was just I got tired of listening to the same old, especially talking about the club that I loved. And I got tired of waiting. You know, I legitimately waited it was like 11 months where I was just like, let me just put it out there. We need a particular color. It's, yeah. And then it never came. So here we are. And now we're here and we have filled this lane and we have obviously really focused on community and building with as many people as we can. And if we just happen to bring in more city people, that's great. But in the end, this is all about like football and community. Mm-hmm. And yes, us rooting for the same teams. That's fantastic. And we want to be able to connect with as many Manchester City fans as possible. But for us to make the impact that we want, what we do has to be bigger than Manchester. And that is what the aim is, and very similar goals to us in 2024, is getting out there and connecting with people, because we're all so separate in this country. So just April can't get here soon enough.
Man, I think that like that's the oh god, I got too high to figure out what I was talking about. The edible hit my ass. Like
we've all been.
I mean, it's all good. I mean, right? Like, gotta be honest. But like that's. I think the highest compliment that we get from like fans of opposing teams is that like I don't even like City like that, but I always listen to y'all. Like y'all are dope as fuck. Like you know what I mean? Like that's like to me there is no higher prize than that.
Yeah, true.
No, that's facts. You guys have actually made me like City. Not that I had anything against City per se. You know, I do support Chelsea. They don't necessarily have a thing with City except that they suck now and City's good. So that's a reason to hate y'all, obviously. But no, you guys have made me appreciate City more, honestly, just because of the vibe you bring. Like I said, it's cool to tune in. It's funny because I don't follow the Premier League as much as I used to. I follow it more just because of you guys, honestly. So it's real for sure.
Yeah.
Question for you. On the pitch, because you mentioned how Galaxy were at the top of the league. They were the top team in the pyramid as far as, you know, looking at who's good, who's not. And you've said it yourself, they've kind of fallen on tough times. What has that been like as a supporter? I know you are continuing to support and whatever, but have you noticed like a drop off from, you know, people in the stadium, social media, is the fan base strong enough to kind of just weather through that? How has that been? Because let our rivals tell it. We're going to be in League One coming up at some point soon. So, you know, I just want to know what to expect.
More like.
I just want to know what to expect.
No, that's a really good question. And like, I think the toughest thing is, and you'll relate to this as City fans, right? Because it's like, I see you guys a lot and you guys are just like reveling in it. Like you don't hold back at all. Like just being good. Like it's so good when your team is good, right? And you can just talk all the smack that you want with impunity. Cause you know, like no one's like, if you look at the horizon, there's a couple teams that are there, but you know, That's probably the toughest thing is, like, we were that team. Like, we were that squad. You could just talk smack. You could wear your jersey everywhere. You didn't have to worry about it. And that we'll still kind of hang our hat on the five stars, you know, so until someone gets a little too close to that. But, no, it's an interesting point because I think, like, the fan base, I think everyone takes that to heart. Like, the idea that, you know, we're one of the OG clubs, one of the oldest clubs, or one of the most decorated clubs. And I think the fans kind of take that to heart too. So the fans want to be the best fans. They want to have the best community. And the community is really amazing. Like the podcast, a lot of guys do like apparel, like their own branded apparel and stuff like that. We have like a pop-up shop they do occasionally where different like fan groups and just people that are just fans that do their own, like create their own kind of stuff, do that. And it's funny because I think as bad as the team has been, the fans have kind of stepped up and really shown, like, because it's about identity, right? And it's about culture. And it's like, well, we hung our hats on that for a long time. Like, oh, we're the best. We're the original. We're the galaxy. We have the stars. When you don't have that, like, what are you about, right? So if you're not winning, what's your identity? And I think the fans have really kind of stepped up and really shown, like, no, this is our identity. Like, even if we're not good, we still, and it's not just like the apparel and all that stuff, like they help each other out. They help the community, get back to the community and stuff. And that's really what inspired me is like looking across the spectrum. You know, I'm really proud that we have, like you said, Black Fires. We have, you know, Footy Mob. We have Black Herons. We have these really cool Black supporters groups. And it's like, well, I want us to be trailblazers. Like, I want us to be the best at everything. I want us to have the best facilities. I want us to have the best team, obviously. I want us to have the best supporters with the best atmosphere and all that stuff. So it's kind of that, it's kind of born out of that. It's like, well, we should have a Black group too. Like, we want to be trailblazers. We want to be out there. So it's interesting you ask that, because I think as hard as it's been for fans, it's given fans an opportunity. Like, two or three podcasts have come out since, like, we've been bad, interestingly. And I think part of that is, like, people kind of want to talk about it. It's weird. There's almost more to talk about when we're bad than when we're good, in a way. So it's been kind of interesting to watch that. So it's a good question, because I think, like, fans have really stepped up, filled that void, like, just not – and help us commiserate and not be, like, you know, just kind of really – fall into that depression of not being good.
Matthew DT was right here in the chat. It was going exactly where I wanted this to go. I'm from a big city myself in New York, and obviously things get split up when you're in a larger market. There's always going to be that second franchise that's come in. How does that feel for you to be obviously the first and to see your territory get brought caved in? They even tried to get Will Ferrell's ass in there to do a little bit of some spokesmanship and like him a little bit more. How did all that make you feel? And what's the current situation with the rivalry right now with LAFC?
Question. It's interesting. I don't have as much like venomous hatred of them as a lot of Galaxy fans do. Having said that, of course, there's no love lost there at all. And like, and you have to understand, and it's funny because it's similar to like the City and a United paradigm to an extent, right?
Well, thank you.
And so it's funny because, like, I think the way to summarize it, and I was just talking about this with someone else, is, like, we had this big, our first, like, derby match where, like, Zlatan made his debut for us in that.
Yes.
Going into that match, I could tell you exactly, like, how I was thinking. Because, like, we had like, Giovanni Dos Santos and Jonah Dos Santos. Neither of them had worked out. They were both kind of, you know, our DPs were out. I was already in my mind making up the excuses I was going to say. Like, when the banter started coming, I was like, all right, I'm already starting to make the narrative. I'm like, hey, we didn't have our DPs, this and this and that. So I'm already making excuses, right? And so imagine the narrative going in is, like, they were undefeated in the first part of the season. They're tearing everybody up. They're winning, like, 3-4 to nothing and stuff. So I'm just waiting. We're going to get it pushed in. That's kind of what I'm expecting. You know, I'm on the bus up to the game. I'm sweating. I'm all nervous. Their fans are outnumbering us on the bus. So I'm stressed out, man. I'm like, this is going to be bad. I'm like, we're going to be outnumbered in our own stadium and we're going to get it pushed in. This is going to be a nightmare. Right? And then, like, and so all that's happening, that's kind of the background. So we go down 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, right? And then we have Zlatan getting up. And so, again, the narrative coming into this match is like, LAFC, look at them. They got these new young players from South America. They got Carlos Vela, who's in his prime. They're not like these old school Galaxy. Go, yeah, they had Beckham. They had these old retirees. They got these old guys from Europe. These guys are new and exciting. And then who do you bring up? Like, ancient Zlatan, who hasn't played anywhere in a year and his knee is faulty, and we don't know. We haven't seen this dude play, and we won't know what to expect. Right? So, I mean, that was kind of the energy going into that game, is like they were really poised to just like take over everything. And luckily, we didn't know how that game kind of turned out, is Latam came on and like turned the tables. And the interesting thing is, like, we've had the edge on them mentally, I think, because of that match. So we've been able to beat them in the regular season. Like, our regular season record is we always beat them. But obviously in the playoffs and games that matter, they knock us out. So it's interesting. I think that's it helped it not be too bad. Like, we had a big game at the Rose Bowl last year that we won.
Can we get all El Traficos at the Rose Bowl? Because I think that's awesome. I think because even just watching it on TV, like, just the atmosphere just is electric. Like, and like, especially like in a, like, we don't have a lot of like quote unquote cathedrals of football. Like, yeah, we have cathedrals of football, but we don't have like cathedrals of football. And like, think about like a lot of moments in like in football history in this country, they've been in that stadium. Like, you know, 90, like the women, like when the 90, yes, exactly. So like that's a huge deal. Like, even the final of the 94 World Cup was played there. So like I think that, yeah, like it's important to that stadium like has that rivalry match.
Yeah, and so they're doing that again this year. I think they'll make it a thing going forward, because we thought they might do Miami there. Obviously, that's a big draw, but now they're going to have the future derbies there, so that's good. So I don't know. So it hasn't been – that's helped us – because that's honestly – I think for a fan, like, honestly, what you want is just to be talked about. I think that's the biggest thing as, like, a fan. Like, you want to be in – you want to be in big games. You want to be in big competitions – and stuff. And I think that's the hardest thing. So our biggest thing to look forward to is that rivalry. So we get up for it and we usually win it. So that's kind of made it better. I think it was kind of like City United, where like every time we faced them, we were just like shaking in our boots and just hoping it's not that bad of a loss. That would be much harder to countenance. But I think the fact that we've been competitive with them on the field for whatever reason, like, it doesn't matter how good they are, whenever we match up, like, we usually go in with just kind of a mental edge. I think if we were always losing to them, that would make it probably harder to countenance, you know.
So for you as a supporter, like, which rivalry is bigger, the Cali Classico or El Trafico?
Oh, that's interesting, man. It probably depends on when you support it. I think for me, I would say it's El Trafico for me. And it's funny because I'm probably right on the fence of when that really shifted. If you ask San Jose, obviously they're going to say it's the Cali Classico. And I think, yeah, it's the Cali Classico because there's a lot of history with supporters groups, just them traveling and stuff that's like kind of popped off and that. And so, I mean, some guys.
My understanding is that there's a reason that, like, when you all go up there, like, there's a reason why it's at Stanford Stadium, like, so that they can't sell booze.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a big part of it, is they want to take advantage of the capacity, right? Because it's the gallery.
Right.
But yeah, also it's like, there's been issues in the past. So a lot of guys that have lived through that, they'll never kind of, that's always be the top rivalry for them. And of course, if you even go older, it's like DC. That was like the rivalry when DC was like good. But yeah, I would say for me, it's definitely El Trafico. It's because it's, they're everywhere. Like, I never see anyone like San Jose. I'll drive around and see like LAFC bumper stickers and be like, my day is ruined already. You know, just driving to work and I see, you know, somebody's will be here. Go up north. What are you doing? So yeah, it's, you know. But so, you know, we'll see. We'll hopefully. I think there's a lot of things turning around, and it's funny because like last year, Galaxy just hired an exec that was in the LAFC front office. So it's good. And it's similar to
Look at that city.
And there's been banter on both sides of that, right? So like on the Galaxy side, like, yes, you know, this guy's jumping ship from you guys on their side. It's like, oh, we didn't want him anyway.
Gonna be, we know the villain. Right.
That's kind of wild. But it's
so how much?
I mean, it's a small pool of people if you think about it. So it's not too surprising. You know?
How much Galaxy 2 do you kind of follow? Because my next question is like, what kind of player did we just sign in Alex Akala?
Yeah, I mean, good question. So I followed him a little bit at Galaxy 2. Usually I rely, there's a couple guys like in our community that really follow the youth leagues a lot, and I'll usually kind of follow them. Obviously, for just like seeing what he's done, look at his highlights, like you can see the qualities there. The thing that stands out to me the most, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to say it, and I say it every time I see him, the guy is tiny, dude. He's like 5'4". Like you'll see him coming out. No. And he'll be like, you'll see him like coming out with like the kids, and you'll be like, oh, that's one. Oh no, that's a player. Like he's almost the same size as the kids are coming out. I don't know if I've seen a footballer that small, dude. Like I think of like Valbuena and those guys. Like, yeah. He's a tiny dude. But if you see him like highlights of him, he can ball. The only question I would have, especially in a league like the Premier League, is if he has just the stature to kind of hang. Because I would worry about him in MLS, let alone Premier League, obviously. Yeah. But no, if you see like I forgot what there was a game that went like a video that went viral, and I can't remember it was like a Premier League youth team that you know we're playing in a tournament in, and he was just like nutmegging dudes left and right. So the technique, the vision, the IQ is all there. The only thing I would worry about, and it hasn't stopped him so far, to my credit, but he's a small dude. He might hit a growth spurt or something, but every time I see him, I'm like, man, that guy is, man, like, again, he's next to other 16-year-olds, and he's small, man.
All right, well, cool. I appreciate this. Before we get you out of here, though, I would like for you to plug yourself, plug Comets FC, let people know how to get a hold of you and your support squad.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So right now we're on Twitter and Instagram at Black Galaxy Fans. I run all the socials in the account, so if you interact with that account, that's basically just me until I get some more folks that are really wanted to be committed. We have also a Facebook group for those of you that still are on Facebook with their parents and that. Feel free to drop on. Hey, you know how it is. We organize most of our events through there, and it's very effective for that. I haven't found another platform that's really as good with events. There's Discord, but that's like, it's 2 inches of the spectrum. Discord is like everyone under like 19, and then like Facebook is everyone like over 30. So those are the things that you can catch us. And yeah, like for right now, what we're doing mainly is like we're doing some viewing parties for AFCON that's going on right now. And like I said, the vibe is really just to, again, bring Black folks together about soccer, whatever your background is, whoever you support. Like I said, first and foremost, obviously we try to channel that energy back into being a Galaxy supporters group. But right now, as a starting point, it's really about, hey, let's find the Black folks in this community that just want to get together and watch matches, learn more about soccer, learn more about it, come together for that reason.
Love it so much. Well, Matthew, I'm so glad we were able to get this situated. I hope you have a great rest of your night.
Yes. Thanks, man. It's good to have you. Good rapping with y'all.
Yes.
See, likewise. Thank you, Matthew.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you so much.
See how quickly I hit that button, Tom Bomb.
He's on it.
On it. He's like, you are not going to accuse me of being drunk, sir. Oh, maybe yes. Later, but not now.
Maybe later.
I'm drunk and I function. Let's go.
You know the vibe, Sharpie. I am Punk Chocolate. I'm with my show bros, Lando, Tarek, Tom Bomb, Sharpie. We are Shades of Blue. Truly, thank you to everybody who has joined us on YouTube, on Twitter, on FanFest Live. To you people watching the replay.
The real MVP.
Love you. Love you so much. Let's see. What do we got?
Can we say like, comment, and subscribe? And what they're supposed to say?
Yeah. Like, creator. Comment, subscribe, all those fun things. I'm trying to great think review. What we have going on. So what is it? Not tomorrow.
Saturday. Tomorrow's the match. Saturday. Yes.
Men's match.
Men's match against Tottenham. Saturday, you're going to see us chop it up with the homie MCFC Tone. Very excited about that. And then Sunday, we got the women's match. We'll record Sunday night, and we're excited to get this content out to you.
Hey.
Tom on his in his
right? Going crazy. I appreciate that.
Fire.
I did my weekly calendar the other day, so that's all.
That was a Doku for this game. Man was out here, bro. Just going crazy.
Oh, man. You know the vibes. Shady Gang. Shady Gang.
Shady Gay.
Get to a bag.
Get you a bag.